I just took that knife and I cut her from her neck down to her anus. And I cut out the vagina and ate it.
Press star 0 pound to hear command list. Press star 1 pound to record. Star 2 pound to hear message. To hear one message, press message number pound. To hear all, press 999 pound. Message 10.
This tourist information station, WPQE 514, at 1620 on your AM dial, is licensed to the Virginia Department of Transportation, which, in cooperation with the Richmond Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau, urges you to drive with care and come back soon.
Message 11.
Welcome to the historic Richmond region, a place that residents and visitors call easy to love, where historic buildings and world-class museums nestle next to new structures designed to harmonize with the past, even as they defy the future. Richmond, fun, affordable, and accessible, offers the benefits of a big city and the warmth of a small town. There are trendy areas and endless pockets of discovery, all in an historic setting that reminds us of who we are as Americans.
Message 12.
Located on the James River Fall Line, Richmond was founded in 1607 by Captains Christopher Newport and...
This is RFA. I am Duel, joined by Bland.
Yeah.
What's up, Bland?
Not a thing.
All right, we're going to get right into something here. Going to do this live on the quote air. Let's see. I got a call. No, wrong person. Hold on. Bear with me. Bear the frick with me. By the way, I'm kind of in IRC right now while the show's going on, so if you want to hop in. Hack and Slash is swearing. Okay. Call log. This calls. Okay. Hold on 1 second here. So, Bland.
Yes, Duel.
I heard you're going to have a good review this show.
I am.
And you've got some, ghetto driving tips.
well,
integrated into this review?
Ghetto driving tips and ghetto driving equipment.
Yes. Damn.
What's up?
Hey, Slip, this is Duel. Just giving you a call, returning your call. Call me on my cell phone anytime. We're actually recording that right now, but do it, man. Call me late. Okay, one down. That sucks. I was trying to call Slip Mode. Something's not going down, but there's some things happening with the Arizona 2600 meeting. So the next call I want to make, hopefully this will work. There we go.
All right, I'm going to give Hack/Slash props for absolutely nothing at all.
Perfect. Yeah, by the way, and I got some. It's ringing. It's continuing to ring. I'm just going to call up, like, random hackers. Like, just... Hello? Damn. They're all gone. They're all watching Return of the King. I know Zapper is.
Yeah, I'm going to wait on that. It'll be like a...
Hey, Logic, this is Duel. I'm recording the show, actually, right now. I'm giving you a call on my cell phone, so no worries. Call me back anytime, like right now. We'll get you on. And if not, definitely call me this weekend, late. All right. What? Two up, two down. That sucks.
There's a movie theater that just opened here in the town that I live in, really close to my house. And it's like a real nice stadium seating and everything. And it opened last night at midnight, so they show Return of the King. And I'm not going to go and watch it. I'm going to go a little farther and go and watch it somewhere else, because it'll be like Return of the Bukkake, you know, with everyone, because it's like a brand new theater, and it's just like, yeah, it's going to be ass hammered.
Oh, yeah, and you know, you got all those fuckers dressed up like hobbits and...
Dude, that shit, man, that shit scares me. I went to go see episode 2, and, like, this fucking van rolls up, right? Like it was the NSA come to get me. And it said on it, the Plano, and Plano's a suburb of Dallas, it said the Plano, Texas Jedi Order.
You're lying.
And these cats get out of it, and it's like, it's not all dudes. I figured it'd be like a big fucking sword fight. I mean, like, these guys aren't seeing any chicks. But, like, a couple chicks get out, and they got one, like... off-centered ponytail trying to be like Obi-Wan or whatever.
Dude, that ducktail shit is really tacky.
Yeah, that I had one of those in the 8th grade.
Oh, sorry, bro.
And, well, you know, and here's the thing. It did not increase my midichlorian count at all. As a matter of fact, it got my ass kicked once or twice.
Yeah, definitely don't get your pussy, that's for damn sure. Yeah, if you got a ducktail, dude, cut that shit off, like, now.
Yeah, cut that... You know what? And if you got a mullet, cut that shit too.
Yeah, unless you play hockey, and then it's like mandatory. This, you know, I don't know if you can tell from my tone. We're gonna at the end of the show, we're gonna talk about. We're not gonna talk about technology. We're gonna talk about what you need to do. I don't want to say to survive in this world, but maybe to excel in this world is more accurate. Things that you, first of all, everybody listening right now is already well above average, right? You're well above the sheep. But there are many things that you need to do to continue to improve yourself so you can excel, no matter what happens, no matter what the people in power, and it may be you someday, throw at you. So that's what's going to be at the end of the show. And it's real time. I have no show notes right now. None. And I like it like that. So that's the end. In the interim, we're going to have some freak news. We're going to be talking about a little Pearl. We're going to be talking PDA, Super Hyper Mega PDA. Thank you, Spider-Man. Spider-Man was on Stank's show. Did you hear that?
No, actually, I haven't got to download that one yet.
Oh, it was a pretty good show. I enjoyed it. You know what? I'm going to take that opportunity right now to give... Not even shouts or props, right? Just I want to give my appreciation to Stank Dog. Why? Here's why. If you can't tell, then maybe you need to listen to more Ben Rev. Or maybe you need to look at more of what Stank's doing. But Stank cares. He cares. He cares about the community. He gives so much, you cannot believe. All the work he does at his vocation, right? And then he sacrifices. He gives so much. You know, I talk that kind of crap like we do this. Or whatever. We're having fun. Stank really cares. He gives back as much as he can. So,
yeah, Stank's the fucking man. He really is. He's, you know, he's out there. He's busting his ass. I mean, he's trying to put this whole thing together. And, like, when we talk, when we have, you know, the BenRev business meetings or whatever, you know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, he's really, I mean, like, he's thinking about this shit, like, all the time.
Yeah.
I think about stuff that pisses me off, you know?
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to, I mean, he's really out there doing it, and he's doing it for the right reasons, and he's doing it for the right people.
Yeah, he would do anything to better the community, and he would do anything to help anybody in the community, so much respect to him.
Definitely, much respect.
Yeah. Let's jump right to the freak news real quick, and, this is actually a week old. I think I missed it last show. Quest begins offering net phone service. That's right. They're going to start offering voice over IP in Minnesota. Of course, the state government there said that, yeah, we can't, we can't control voice over IP like we do other telecommunications. So I think it's pretty obvious Quest is going to jump on that and start offering that service. Let me see if I can find some specifics here. I don't see any dates. Page 204, great. I missed a bunch of the article apparently. But yeah, that's the first piece of news, and this is actually related. And this is worthy of reading. I don't know if I will read this entire article. It's off of Security Focus. Will voice over IP be wiretap ready? I think everybody knows the answer is yes, right? Yeah, I'm sure you're all familiar with CALEA. If you're not, look it up. CALEA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Agencies Act. And that means basically, in a nutshell, that all the telcos have to have the technology to be able to give law enforcement agencies, right, like the FBI, wiretaps, information, voice recordings at the drop of a hat, and the government subsidized all that. So that's CALEA. 1994, by the way, is when it was enacted. This is going to be a big subject, and I think, actually, I don't think it is a big subject. I think it's going to be just as easy, right? They've got Carnivore now, and it's sniffing voice over it. Right, you got Vomit, you got tons of stuff. To have the big wigs, to have the telcos, to have the large cable providers get the traffic for IP telephony for any law enforcement agency is going to be child's play. So it's not a non-issue, but it's damn close. Let me read just a couple of things here. In a rapid-fire series of announcements from cable and telecom bigwigs this week, confirms that voice over IP has a future as a mainstream consumer technology. It's worth noting that the electronic surveillance mavens in the FBI and Justice Department saw it coming, obviously. On Thursday, AT&T announced plans to deliver consumer internet. This is boring. Where's the good stuff here? Let's see. Well, you know the FBI post. Hey, look at that. You know what? Honestly, I don't want to talk about this because it's BS. We know they're going to be... Hold on. Hey, what's up, man? Not much. We're recording right now. Let me finish my thought. We know already, it's obvious, that they are, you know, with the Patriot Act, with CALEA, that they're going to be able to get all of your voice over IP conversations easily. It might take some time, it might take some money, but they're going to get it. So, hey, you know, enjoy it while you can. What's up, Logic? Oh, you just... Everybody, Logic just woke up. We're recording right now. I thought it'd be cool. I gave Slip a call, I gave you a call. I wanted to see if Slip wanted to talk about what's going on at the meetings, but maybe not. I don't know. You want to be on the show? All right, I'll dial you up on landline. Oh no! I'll just call this number on my landline. All right, late. All right, so we are getting Logic on the show. That is awesome.
Hey, Duel.
Yeah.
I've got some voice over IP news.
Okay, let me get Logic on real quick, and then you can do that. And I think that'll be the freak news for this evening. Let me get his number up here. Okay. Hold on. Take up speaker. All right, brother. Flash. You know what? You there? Bland. Okay. You know what? Screw that. I'm not star 670. I don't see. Logic, you can absolutely know my number. That's just silliness. All right, hold on. Gosh darn it. Alright. I'm having trouble. The frickin' little, stupid little light goes off. And then I can't see it. Let's try one more time. I don't want anybody to hear this. So. Okay. Here we go, calling Logic live on the show. You're there. All right, let me put you on speaker. Bland, you're there too? All right. Now we have Logic. We got Bland and Logic on RFA 90, whatever it is. What's up, guys?
All right. Chilling.
Okay, we're in the middle of the freak news. We just talked about some voice over IP, Logic, and Bland is going to finish it out. He's got some VoIP news. What is it, Bland?
Top five U.S. cable providers remain divided this week between traditional and cutting-edge ways to sell telephone service. That's good news for makers of old-fashioned phone equipment. Scroll down here a little bit. Following an early move by Comcast, Cox Communications on Monday signaled that it remained wedded to the traditional circuit-switched network it built a half-decade ago. With it, the company pioneered a cable telephone business that now has nearly a million subscribers. Comcast, the largest cable provider in the world with 1.3 million subscribers, is also sticking for now with its circuit switch networks. Spokesman there said it's kind of a no-brainer for them because we've both made a big commitment to circuit switched. And goes on to say that that's not stopping them from dipping their toes into both camps. Cable companies that are relative newcomers to the telephone business are embracing voice over IP quickly to challenge their market-leading rivals. Voice over IP is popular with Time Warner Cable and Cablevision because, in part, it costs about a third less than traditional phone switches and can be installed more quickly. However, quickly does not mean securely, as right. We were just talking about, you know?
Right.
But there's a thing that here. Oh, yeah. They expect a technologically divided landscape during our lifetime that could hurt network equipment vendors, including Cisco and others, that made strategic decisions to sell just voice over IP gear. So what we've got here, basically what the article is saying is that voice over IP is now really being taken seriously for everybody. And you've got providers of high-speed internet really trying to sell you phone service along with your high-speed broadband. And it's really going to be a major selling point. But some people, you know, still like their switches. Some people still like their telephones. Standard telephones.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's going to be, I mean, it is absolutely a viable technology, and it will become more popular as time goes on. But the copper ain't going anywhere, okay? It's going to be around for a long time. Personally, I would rather have a copper line. You know, even if everything goes to voice over IP, and you got to pay, who knows, you know, you got to pay $50 a month just to have that copper line, just to be able to make local calls, I would do it. I don't know if it's like a security blanket. I don't know. It's just, it feels good to know that you got that lineman, you know, punching the blocks to freaking get your call through. Logic, I mean, what is your preference? Are you, you know, you're, seriously, you know what's going on. Would you rather have all voice over IP, or do you always want that copper?
Actually, I do like the copper. I mean, you can still use copper for voice over IP. Thing that I mean, it's not really completely related to voice over IP, but as far as copper goes, it is. You see that stupid commercial that's like, everything's going cellular, and we're not going to need copper anymore, and this is going to be cool and all that stuff? I don't know if you've seen that commercial.
I have not.
I just think it's the stupidest thing in the world. It's like saying, yeah, we're not going to need copper anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
Yeah. But no, I think the technology is cool. I mean, I totally use it just for the sake of using the technology.
Yeah, I would like to mess with it, and we did just discuss, you know, basically law enforcement listening to, right, capturing all of your voice over IP traffic, it's going to happen. Either way, they're going to get what they want. But I always I like that circuit switching. It's just so nice. Maybe it's just comfortable. I don't know. I think that's the freak news. We're going to get to Bland. He's going to be reviewing. Well, I'll let Bland do it. Hold on. Let's close it out. Very nice. Actually, before we go into that, can we talk about your glove logic?
Sure.
I told Mute about it, dude. He was like, hell yeah. He wants one. He wants to make one. I mentioned it on the last show. Logic made tell everybody what you made.
It's a glove that electrocutes people, basically. Simple bit of it. But there's a few corrections that I had to make for what you said on the last episode. I think you said it charged to 130 volts or something like that.
I remember you measured it to 130 one time.
Okay, so the thing is, that was 130 when I was zapping myself.
Gotcha.
It actually goes up to 330 volts.
Ooh.
And that's what I was doing when I was actually demonstrating it.
All from 1.5 volts, right? 1.5 volt battery.
Yeah, it's charging from that. And the other thing is, the 130 volts, it wouldn't quite feel the same as it would if you get it out of the wall, just because, I mean, the wall is AC, the glove is DC, but it's not the big difference. The big difference is you're not getting as much current from the glove. But when it's up at 330 volts, dude, you can feel it.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
At 330? Dude, I'm glad you're still here.
Well, the thing is, the way I found out about it was accident. I was in high school. I'd take things apart. I didn't know as much about electronics, you know. And I thought, you know, I'm taking out the battery. Things should be fine. And I didn't know anything about capacitors. So I totally just zapped myself and kind of kinked up. And I thought my neck was all being weird. I'm like,
fuck.
And then I just went back to playing with it again. And 2 seconds later, it happened again. I'm like, fuck. I put it down, you know, and maybe an hour later I had to verify it, so I did it again, but the next day I brought it to school, and I was effing with everybody, man. That is so evil, but it's so fun.
That is, dude, that is so cool. Everybody I've told that about, just their eyes light up. They really want to check something like that out. I remember, if I may, my first run-in, right, with large electricity, I had a shop in the back when I was younger, right, and had three phase, and I had a bunch of welders, shears, brakes, mills, lathes, all that stuff. Grew up in that shit, right? And I had to unplug the welder, right, big plug, and I grabbed it, right? And then I'm a dumbass, I'm a little kid, I couldn't get it out, it's a giant plug, so I reached around, I had it out about an inch out, and then I reached around, and man, did I get a shock. I got a big time shock. That was my first run in with electricity, and it was not pleasant. Bland, do you have a? Everybody's got one. Come on, dude. Do you like piss on electric fans? What was your first run in?
My first run in was actually, I actually did not whiz on it. I know better than I live my life by a few rules. One of which is do not whiz on the electric fan. But I did. One of my friends had the electric fence up to keep his dogs in, because he had like a bunch of dogs and all that. And he was like, "All right, I'm gonna turn the fence off." And so without, I didn't have the sort of communications protocols that I do now.
Uh-huh.
Go, okay, give me an all clear or something like that. I was like, "All right," and then took a step and caught that shit on my shin. And it was like hot, and it just. Man, that's just a bad feeling.
Really? Is that like, see, honestly, all those fences I've never really run into, that really gave you a jolt, huh?
Yeah, he wasn't as bad as another person that I know. His electric fence was fucking bare wire, like a stripped extension cord running around his chain link fence.
Ugh.
Plugged into a 110. So, yeah, I mean, by the time it went around the fence, it wasn't, it wasn't 110 anymore, but it was still the shit,
Right. Ghetto fence. Very nice.
It's the little bus town I grew up in.
Yeah. Speaking of ghetto, let's get into the PDA. Oh, this is good shit. And we actually tested this on the phone right before the show, so this works, and this is good stuff. Bland had a dilemma. to buy an iPod or a PDA, to listen to lots of music, or to hack. And I think you went with the right choice. You went with what, Land?
I went with a PDA first. The MP3 player will come later.
And what did you get?
I got a Dell X3i.
Now roll with it, dude. Tell us all about it. All
right, the Dell X3i is the Dell PDA that has integrated 802.11b. It's got all that built in, and it has one SD slot for expansion. And I got a 256 meg SD card for that. And so I'm playing around with it. I'm loving a lot of stuff. You know, the synchronization software that came with it is pretty decent, you know. And I've got, like, Avant Go, which is really cool. It downloads all these headlines and, like, major stories from, like, routers and from BBC, Reuters, I'm sorry, and BBC and CNET and also local weather. So, you know, when I'm at work and I go on break, you know, in the back drinking coffee, I can read USA Today, and it's all, like, stored locally, and it refreshes every time I resync. That's cool. And so, you know, I've got to play around with the 802.11. So, you know, I open it up in the living room, you know, and plug it in, finds my network. Excellent. The software that it comes with is really cool. It's just called Dell's Dell Mobile something or another. I can't remember what it's called. And what it does is it'll show you, you know, a little strength meter in the bottom right-hand corner. It's like four or five bars, like basically like a cell phone. And their bars are either red or green. And red means crap signal and green means good. So there's like link status. There's like five or six different options, little different sub-pages you can go under. And the one that's important, that will become important later, it's called Site Survey, and it's basically telling you, it tells you everything about the network that you're on. Like mine, it said Bland Cave for SSID. It showed the signal strength, the link quality, not signal strength. It showed link quality, and then it showed whether it was webbed or not, and it showed the MAC address of the access point. So that's really cool. And I got an internet tooled around, whatever. So I'm in Walmart. Or I'm remiss to say that I was in Walmart. And so I'll whip out, you know, whip out the old PDA, turn on the Wi-Fi antenna, and it says, hey, you found a new network. And I was like, well, have we now? So do you want to connect to this network? And I went to hit no.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I had that stylus right at the no, and sure as shit, the yes button clicked. It's Windows, it's running Pocket PC 2003, so it's just one of those glitches. You hit no, and it actually says yes.
Yeah, the alignment was off or something, right?
Yeah, screen alignment, I gotta fix that. And so I go to hit no, and it hit yes. And it asked me for a key. Yeah, I assume it's a web key, probably a Leap key, because everything in Walmart, all their stuff is Cisco. And say what you want to about Walmart, they're not bullshitting about their security.
Right.
Because they've got one guy in Bentonville, Arkansas, that really knows his shit, and then he just sets the protocols and the standards for all the other stores they have to go by. So that's you're not gonna be able to hack your local Walmart unless you just get really, really lucky. Because I mean, they've got the resources to hire someone that really knows what they're doing. And so anyway, so I go to Site Survey, just tooling around, and here I find about 15 or 20 access points.
Damn, in one Walmart.
One Walmart. And I assume that they are, one of them has got to be the access point for the sporting goods counter. That's how they send out all the, like when you buy a hunting license or a fishing license or something like that, that's how it connects. It doesn't go through phone lines. It's by 802.11. The other ones, I assume, are their telzons.
Right.
The one for, you know, there's not one for department. That would be too handy. But, you know, sometimes like two departments will share one. Or if you get like soft lines, like the clothes, like menswear and boyswear will share one. Stuff like that. So there's not one for every department. and others I can only speculate on. And all the ESS IDs were like period, comma, comma. So that was kind of weird. But I got to thinking. I was like, you know, that's kind of odd that, you know, it shows in the site survey all these different access points operating on different channels. So I look, and since I'm not connected to any of the networks, it's hopping, looking for access points. Now, if this hasn't sunk in, this is kismet, right?
That is ghetto driving fabulous.
This is ghetto driving. If you're not associated with the network, it's looking for more networks, and it's...
Oh, that's slip.
It's slip.
Hold on a second. Pardon me.
All right.
Slip. Hey, what's up? We're recording the show right now, dude. Damn, yeah. Maybe I can call you back and get you on at the end. Or, oh, okay. All right. Well, let me. Okay. Later. All right. He is busy. Oh, and Logic, let me know if you have to bounce, man. No problem.
I should be cool this time. My phone's fully charged. I'm up in North Phoenix right now.
Right on.
I'm walking around in the park right now, so.
Yeah, very nice. Hopefully not with the glove.
Nope. Yeah, yeah.
So Bland essentially has a freaking ghetto driving box right out of the box.
Yes. If you are not, and we tested this, I took my phone and I walked it down to the end of my block out of the range of my home network. And, you know, I was on the phone with you, and I turned on the Wi-Fi antenna. And it was hopping, didn't find anything. So I started walking toward my house, and it found my network, but it didn't associate with it. Because the antenna was not turned on in the range. You see, because when you turn it on, it will either associate, and this is all speculation. But if you're in range of a network, an open network, it'll connect to it. It'll associate you with it, get you an IP, and you're off and running.
Right.
But if you are not, then if it can't find a network initially, it goes into promiscuous mode and goes around looking for networks. And it'll look for networks, and until you find an open network, turn the antenna off, and then turn the antenna back on. And then it'll boot up, and it'll find the access point, and it'll associate you with it. So, and I'm looking at it, you know, I was down there looking at it, and it's hopping. Things just hopping channels. So I take a few steps in, and sure enough, Bland Cave comes up, ESSID.
Nice.
But it doesn't associate me with it, it just finds it. It finds that network, everything about my network, and it keeps on hopping.
Rad. Now, did you actually drive around? I think you told me this. You were done at Walmart, and you actually drove around with it and did a little ghetto driving.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yes.
Beautiful. Man, I'm jealous. You bought the right PDA, my friend.
Did
you know? You didn't know it did this, did you?
I had no idea. You know, and I was unhappy that Mini Stumbler didn't work.
Right.
And lo and behold, I've got something easily just as good. I mean, it's an active scanner just like Mini Stumbler. So what's the difference, you know?
Hell yeah. And that is, my friends, the epitome of ghetto driving. That's what it is. You don't got the fancy cards. You don't got the fancy programs. You make do with what you got, and you find those networks. Read Stank's article. Listen to, we talked about it on some previous shows, you know. That is what it's about, and Bland's got it in his PDA. And what's the range like?
It's pretty good. If it finds any signal at all, like, mine was like 3/4 of a block from my house, and it found it.
That's good for a little PDA.
Yeah.
Integrated antenna. It does not have an external antenna, correct?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does?
It's a little,
little nub?
Yeah, a little nub at the top.
Gotcha.
And it glows, it's got half of it will, like, flash for, like, transmit, and the other half, I think, will flash for receive.
Very nice. And do you mind telling everybody how much you paid for that, or how much it cost, I should say?
It was... Now, I got the car charger, and I got the fucking awesome Rhino case, Rhino skin case. And the Rhino skin case was like 40 bones, and the car charger was like 20. Altogether, it was like 480.
480. So under 5. So that's that sounds like it's one of the higher end PDAs.
Yeah, it's 400 megahertz processor. It's got 64 megs of RAM, 64 megs of ROM, and it and also included in that price was a 256 meg SD card.
Nice, very nice. Now, what about Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, it does not have built-in Bluetooth, but Toshiba, I believe, just released an SD Bluetooth card. They're a little pricey. They're in like the 120, 130 range for one, but they're small like SD cards, and on the inside of my, the inside of the lid of my Rhino case that I have for it, there's a spot that holds two SD cards. So that's cool because I could get that SD Bluetooth adapter and keep it in one slot and then buy maybe like another 256 meg or a 512 when they come down in price a little bit. So, right. You know, it's cool. It's compact. It's awesome.
Dude, if you ever had to destroy data, you could like munch on one of those SD cards, man. You could totally eat one of those things.
At your ass.
Oh, yeah. Or stick it up your ass.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Smuggle that shit right there. Now, well, you've done some other things. I know you messed with themes. What was syncing like? That pissed me off in mine. It wants to talk so much shit, dude. There's like four programs that have to have access to the internet when I sync mine. It really pisses me off. Talk about syncing and also the themes. I've yet actually Bland, and I'm guilty. Bland sent me some themes, like 20 themes, I think you said, and I've yet to mess with them. So I will soon, I promise.
Cool. Syncing isn't that bad. Mine only wants to talk to the internet when it syncs that Avant Go.
You're kidding me.
And it's having to download stuff from the internet. I mean, it pulls everything directly from my PDA to my XP box. So, like, and if I change something, you know, just synchronizing is what synchronizing is. If I put another MP3 in the local version of my MP3 folder on my PDA and delete another one, when I synchronize, it'll add that one to my PDA and subtract that one from my PDA.
Now, wait a minute. Do you have any type of firewall? This is on your Windows box. Do you have any type of firewall on that box?
Anything no.
That's watching ingress and egress? No? Do yourself a favor. Install Zone Alarm if just temporarily, and then try to sync. See what happens.
All right.
Yeah, try that. You might piss you off.
Really?
Yeah.
These types of things telling Redmond everything that I put on and take off of my computer.
Oh, man. Just try it. And then themes. Now, I looked briefly for stuff for my little pocket PC. And, you know, of course, once I found the, you know, the girl tied up wallpaper, you know, I was done. So I didn't look into it any further. But you went and found a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I had a couple hours to kill. Actually, I was just bored. And I started looking for pocket PC themes. And I found a bunch of really cool ones, all for free. And I found that I'm going to be messing with later. I'm just like a theming bastard or something as of late. But I found a theme generator. Actually, a theme packager is probably the best description. Because the themes, the file type is like XPD or something like that, XPF.
Right.
So it's an odd file type. It's not something you can't... It's not like a tar GZ. I mean, God forbid it be so easy that you just put a .desktop file in. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so there's a theme builder that Microsoft will give you, and you can, you know, make your own start images, and you can make your own start menu image, and it'll package it up, you know, and also you can colorize your start bar however you want and stuff like that, and package it up as a theme, and you can use it. So hopefully this weekend I'll make at least one or two themes.
Yeah, I want that, because you are a genius with the themes. If you haven't seen it yet, Blant's got a Fluxbox theme development version. It's an RFA theme. It's red. It uses Zapper's RFA blue wallpaper, as we like to call it, and that's got rounded corners, and everything's just gorgeous. And I got to thank you, Blant, for giving me all the tips on how to customize everything else, my A-turn, my bar, all that stuff. I love that box. I love it. Love it to death. So, yeah, Bland is a theme and bastard. Yeah, dude, if you make a pocket PC theme, I'll stick it on Old School Freak. By the way, your GDM themes, excuse me, has been very popular.
Sweet.
Very popular. Anything else on that PDA? It sounds like you're a pretty satisfied hacker.
I am. It makes me so happy. It's great. And my car stereo, man, this is the shits right here. I bought like a really nice in-dash MP3 CD player for the van.
Yeah.
And it has flip out face. It would like flip up and flip down, and when you turn the ignition off, it would like these little things would flip out, and it would be flush with the dash.
Right.
So you couldn't tell there was a stereo in it or whatever. And had it for like, you know, like 30 days and like 20 minutes, just like a nanosecond out of warranty, and those doors crapped out on me. I had to break out ye olde butter knife. And so I can't eject the CD. So I've got like this one chapter from an audiobook just perpetually in my CD player.
That's nice.
I can only listen to the radio or chapter 19 of Harry Potter 5. Oh yeah, that sucks ass.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, it is a good enough CD player, an in-dash CD player, that it has a front side input jack. And since I got the car charger for the PDA, and it's got a headphone jack on the side, it takes standard 1/8 inch in, I assume that's what it looks like on the CD player. So I'm just gonna get an 1/8 inch stereo to 1/8 inch stereo cable, and just like start listening to that in the car.
Perfect. Perfect. You can also grab, for anybody else that doesn't have that in their stereo, you can grab an iRock, and it's like $30, and it'll pipe stereo to the four unused frequencies, you know, right? The left side of your FM dial, 88.1 to 7, I think. So that would work as well. Not as nice as that, of course. Very nice, man. I'm jealous. I mean, I got the Bluetooth, and that's what I wanted, and that's what I was playing with. But you can ghetto drive. I've yet to try. I've got the little SD Wi-Fi card. Works great, but you have to try ghetto driving with it. So, dude, very good tips. And tell everybody the model again.
A Dell X3i.
Yeah, if you're not going to get like a Zoris or something, I'd say that's the one to get right there.
Yeah, I was going to get a tungsten T, but I decided on the Dell.
I think you made the right decision. You obviously made the right decision. I say we get to the. Before I do, there's actually one more piece of freak news, and I hope I get this, since we're recording like right before the show's going to stream. Oslo sent me a rad recording. Basically, have you ever been driving down the road and you see like, you know, tourist information or, you know, highway information tuned to like this high frequency on your AM dial, you know, 1680 AM, and then you tune to it and it's like an automated message over and over, maybe the weather, maybe time, I don't know. He basically found the dial-in number to configure one of those radio stations' automated messages. And he sent a recording of that. It is awesome. I'm hoping, I told him I'd get it on the show. I'm hoping I'll have time to get it and mix it in. If I don't, I'll put it up on the site and play it next week. But regardless, if I played it, that's what it is. If not, you'll get to hear it soon. Let's get to the final segment. I don't know if this is long or short. I have no idea. And I want both of your input as well. Both of you, please, let me know what you think. If you listen to Bin Rev, the last app I was on there with Stank, and we got into some pretty deep shit. Talking about the government, talking about what we should put up with, talking about what they know and what they do knowingly. And to recap, here's what I was trying to say, is that people in power are intelligent. They know what they're doing, and they know what's going on. And actually, Stank and I talked. We had a great conversation after we recorded. And Stank said, well, should I not be upset about that then? I said, and absolutely, you should be. You should definitely be, regarding the Patriot Act, you should definitely be upset about those kinds of things. Right? Even if it is, they think it's for the good, or maybe they do know what's going on, and maybe there are some sacrifices they think that the general public has to make. That doesn't mean we have to accept them. And yes, you should be upset. Should you lose faith? Maybe. I don't know. That's really up to you. But that was the gist of what we were talking about. And I started, it kind of drove me to what Sean Kennedy talks about, right? And I'm basically, I'm going to be parroting, you know, P-A-R-O-T, right? I'm going to be a parrot here and just basically repeat what he says, but I want to go further and actually give you specifics. I'm going to write them down right now. I'm going to make lists of things that you can do, you should do, to prepare for the worst. And I don't want to instill fear upon you, right? But who knows what can happen? Yeah, I forgot. We captured Saddam.
Yeah, now we're really fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, what now? Yeah. Who the fuck cares? It's nothing. If anything, it just pisses more people off. Right? So if everything goes to shit, if there is an apocalypse, and I don't think there will be, but to some level, if things get bad, right? And I think they already are. They already start out negative, right, for the community. If you don't think so, look at the past and look at what they consider us now. They do consider us terrorists. You have to prepare. You have to better yourself all the time. And what I want to do now is actually give you specifics, right? I don't just want to mimic Sean Kay because he's absolutely right. I want to go further and give you examples, give you things that you should do. Because I fully believe in it. There's things that I try to do as well. And please, both of you, jump in at any time. First, obvious, and I think hackers have... I'm writing this right now. Have a head start at this already, just from their nature. Is you must educate yourself. And I don't mean go to school. Absolutely you should go to school. But just, you know, go your 12 years, maybe your college, and then stop. No, it must be constant. Right? You've heard me say this many times. You must constantly change. You must constantly grow. And that will only happen if you educate yourself. Because guess what? No one is going to educate you, right? At least for free. Even if you pay for it and go to school, they're still not going to educate you. They're still not going to make you learn the things that you need to learn.
Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah, well, is it? What's it like there? And you're, we don't have to talk about any specifics. We just say that you're right now within the higher education system. What's it like? I mean, are they bending over backwards to make sure you know what you have to, you know, what you need to know?
There's goods and bads. In the beginning, we learned a whole hell of a lot. I mean, I learned a lot. But now, it seems like they're kind of crapping out on us. So the teachers aren't as good. Some of them still are, but some of them just suck. The material, I'm not learning anything, man. I learned more about Java just looking at a tutorial than I did with the whole class of it. It's getting pretty poor right now. But, I mean, learning the stuff you really want to know, yeah, there's not going to be anything there. I mean, it's a tech school, and it's funny that, like, nobody even really knows about 2600 or anything like that, even though it's like, you know, everybody's doing computers. You got, like, more of a select crowd, I guess I should say, with that, instead of, like, just any old high school.
Right.
But the education there, it's okay, but not what I was expecting.
Okay, a phenomenal example right there. Real life, okay? Educate yourself and continue to do as such. Next. This could be very broad, and I might break it down or I might make separate entries here, but I'll say this. You must have balance, and I actually talked about this on Stank's show, and when I say balance, you must balance, and now there are, first let me tell you that your mind and body are one, absolutely. If you don't believe that, you're very wrong. If your mind is unhealthy, your body will be unhealthy and vice versa. So you must find balance. Hackers, I think, already have very healthy minds. They're very active with them, and they train them. You must train your mind as well as your body. So that is where the balance comes in, right? You must not become emaciated, right? You must not become overweight. You must absolutely keep yourself in shape. It will further your hacking if you further your physical being. All right, and this is absolutely true. And I know everybody's very busy. You have no time. You can't find the time to exercise. You know, it's cold outside. There are things you can do. You can stand in one spot. You cannot move. And you can be dripping in sweat from training your body. So I guarantee you there are ways to train yourself. The third thing I think you must do, and this is probably one of the bigger things, and maybe should have been the very first thing, is to change the way you think. Now, I'm going to give specifics, right? Whether it's my opinion, whether it's too personal, I don't care. You must change the way you think. And listen first and have an open mind. The first thing you do in life, the first thing in your life, right when you are born, the very first thing that is done is that you will die. Right? That is already a foregone conclusion. You will die. So what you must do then is plan from that day back. This is very Eastern thinking. Bland, I don't know, have you read anything like this before, Bland? Have I babbled about this before with you?
No, actually you haven't. This is new.
Well, it's very true, and I try to prescribe to this way of thinking. It's very Eastern. No matter what you do in life, no matter what happens, you will die. Right? Plan backwards. Where will you be when you pass on? Think about it. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to do for many reasons. For one, that Westerners fear death so, right? For two, people don't want to, you know, they don't want to put that much effort, right, into thinking about their lives. But I believe this is essential. And this is something specific that I'm giving to you. Change the way you think. Starting with the beginning, which is the day that you die, and plan backwards. It is not easy. Try it. These things will prepare you for anything. They will prepare you for the seemingly evil things that the government wants to do, right? In this time of, quote, war, right? It will prepare you for hardships in your life. It will prepare you for the sacrifices you make in the community. When you find those vulnerabilities and you by God have the bravery, seriously, to tell somebody about it. When you could sacrifice, you know, career, education, any of those things, this will prepare you. These things will prepare you for that. Fourth, I struggled with this one, because this is, you know, this could be a very hot topic. Actually, I'm not going to discuss the hotter thing, and that would be guns and gun control. But I do believe in preparing yourself to defend yourself and what is precious to you, whether it be loved ones, property, whatever. That's all up to you. That's your personal issues. So you must be able to physically defend yourself. I'm not going to bring up guns. I don't really believe in guns. Whatever. If you like, a lot of people do, and you can absolutely be safe and use them, whatever. Knock yourself out. Honestly, the best way is to not have to rely on a weapon, right? And there are many things that go into that, not just, you know, training your body, whether it be martial arts, whether it be training with a knife. Sean Kay actually had a good show where he talked about knives and fighting knives. Very good show. Very informative, by the way. Very true. This actually kind of goes back to the last one. When I talk about being able to defend yourself, you must also there change the way you think, right? You can defend yourself by the way you think, by the way you act, right? By the way you carry yourself. It's very true. You should always, and I believe in this, always, wherever you are, never be too comfortable. Always consider that you might have an adversary. Always. That doesn't mean be paranoid, right? That doesn't mean, you know, don't be nice to people. But just always realize that you may come into a situation that can bring harm to you or your loved ones. So you must always be able to defend yourself. I carry a knife, right? I do. It's a tool to me, right? I got a Columbia River and I carry it. I could defend myself with it. I could defend myself in other ways. And I believe it's very, very important. 5th, and I think this is... Man, I gotta get going. I gotta mix still. I think most of us are doing this already. And that is... Make... I don't want to fill this full of sayings, but make a difference. Impact some change upon society. At least upon your surroundings, whether it be your community, your school, your home. Right? And how do you do that? And I don't mean you have to go protest. I don't mean you have to, you know, convince people to use Linux. You don't have to do that. The change can be within yourself. Force yourself to change something about yourself, to change something about your household, to change something in your community or the nation if you can. You must have some type of impact. Stank does this all the time with his show, his magazine, the forums. He's doing exactly that. He is making some change. He's making some friends, right? He's making some enemies, probably. Great people do. But he's definitely impacting change. I think that's a great, great example. And that's absolutely something you have to do to prepare yourself. Right? And it's not intuitive, honestly. You think about it, it's not very intuitive. Okay, so good, great. You know, I got my city council to consider this law, and they're going to vote on it, and maybe they will, maybe they won't, whatever. Well, how does that help me prepare? Well, it helps you prepare because you had to go through the effort, right? You had to go through the experience to do it. Even if you fail, you are better for the experience. Because guess what? Humans don't like change. They don't. They are creatures of habit. So if you impact some type of change, you are better for it, and hopefully they are better for it. Right? Even if, let's say you have an opportunity to get a job interview, right? Something, maybe you don't even want to do it, but just going through that action of meeting with people, right? A little social training, which we're going to talk about. You will be better for it. Even the power, the ability, the capability to say, you know what, no, thank you very much for your time, but no, I'm going to go elsewhere. I have a better offer. You will be better.
Day, man.
What's that?
That's the other day. I've been having some political issues with work, I guess you could say. But
Please.
Well, not completely. It's politics with the job itself, but there's a post that's being canceled with the contract, so I'm looking elsewhere, but... Man, I've already went two different places. Today I just finished taking a polygraph test, which, man.
Pseudoscience. But, absolute pseudoscience. Okay.
Well, yeah, seriously. I mean, it's not a lie detector test. It just detects, like, sweat and pulse and stuff like that. But still, I don't know. I still lied, too, because one of the questions, man, it was like, have you ever committed any undetected crimes?
Everybody has.
And it's not like in the past 5 years. It's like, period. Have you ever committed any undetected crimes? And basically, you pretty much have to give it a no answer because they ask you up front all the stuff that you've done. And then when they ask you, they say, have you committed any undetected crimes besides what we've discussed? And there's no way in hell I'm going to be saying, there's not even time in a day to tell them all that crap. And I mean, I still did say a bunch of stuff, like, you know, everything on the top of my mind, because the stuff that wasn't on the top of my mind wouldn't matter because of how the psychology of that test goes. But, man, right through the middle of it, like, I just thought about that road sign thing, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, dude, I kind of twitched a little when I got to it. I don't think it threw me off. The question that I think really threw me off was at the beginning where they asked me if I intended on being honest with the polygraph test, during the polygraph test, and man, it had hooked the probes up to my twitchy hand, you know, thanks to all the electrocution. So, dude, that was working out for me, and she asked me the question, and I, like, my arm twitched, and I'm like, I'll be honest, like, then, you know, she's like, you can't move your arm, and she asked me another question, and she came back to that question, and I twitched again, and I thought I was a good liar, but, dude, when you're put on the spot like that, and your heart's kind of racing, you know, and you have, like, a job on the line for it, you get kind of nervous, and it was mostly my arm that was going crazy, but, that was fun. But I asked her a lot of questions about the technology. We were talking about computer programming with polygraph tests. It's interesting that she's saying that things weren't really working out that great as far as programming polygraph tests. It wasn't actually getting the information into the computer, but it was logarithms for deciding on the information, which, I don't know, man. I think I'd like to actually take the challenge to try to get something working if I learned all the psychology and how it worked and everything. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You would be doing number one, basically, educating yourself, and you'd probably be impacting some change. And you are better, you know, as uncomfortable as that situation was, right? And it was, it sounds like.
Well, I know, like you're gonna say, it was worth the experience, totally.
Right, you are better for it.
The reason I was looking forward to doing it is just to know what it's like.
Right. And you know what, someday I'll, I don't know, maybe next show, maybe another, you know, few shows from now, I'll tell my polygraph test. There's absolutely ways to control polygraphs test there. It's absolute pseudoscience, and I've got a very good story, actually.
Cool.
Those five, my friends. Now, I know this is probably kind of a weird thing to hear on RFA, but I think it's very important. I believe in what Sean K says. I don't think he's blowing smoke up our asses. He's not. You know, I don't think he's some messiah either. But these things are absolutely necessary. They're absolutely necessary no matter what situation you're in, and no matter what happens with the government and world situations now. So, and really, this is my rant, and pardon my ranting, but I think there are things that people need to know. I really do. If you have any questions about them, please let me know. Ask Bland, Logic, anybody. We'll help you any way we can. I think that's going to have to be it. I don't know if we're an hour or not. I don't care. I got a mix because I got to stream it in 20 minutes. Logic, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Dude, that was awesome. It was good seeing you at the meeting. I will be there in January. I cannot wait. Bland, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Always.
And remember, everything that comes out of the God box is a lie.
Hell yeah. That should have been number 6. Turn off the damn TV.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is RFA. Later.